Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. First we'll begin with a translation for text 35. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Yam sadugata sadisi ripavopi suran ripa pratimanam prakurvanti kem u tanye padrash Bhadvadrisha. Translation, any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhisthira, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. Text 36. Gunaralam asankyayar Mahatmyam tasya suchete Vasudeve Bhagavati Yasya Naisargi Kirati Gunai, with spiritual qualities. Alam, what need? Asankyayai, which are innumerable. Mahatmyam, the greatest. Tasya, of him. Prahlad Maharaj. Suchite, is indicated. Vasudeve, to Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya, of whom? Naisargiki, natural. Prati, attachment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. Purport in his prayers of the 10 incarnations, Jayadeva Goswami says, Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Prahlad Maharaj was the devotee of Lord Nrisimha, who is Keshava, Krishna himself. Therefore, when this verse says, Vasudeve Bhagavati, one should understand that Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Nrisimhadeva was attachment for Krishna, Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, is described as a great Mahatma, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Bhavanam janmanamante gyanamamam prapadite vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he was actually acknowledged, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Great devotee of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is a great soul and is very rarely to be found. Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Krishna can be explained in the next verse. Krishna graha grihitatma. Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is an ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. What made Prahlad Maharaj great was that he was always thinking about Krishna. So everyone can also become a Mahatma if they learn the science of how to think about Krishna. Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction, Sat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapta Vidya Pitopa Tapta Rasanastra Nirochikanu Kinvadaradanudinam Savadkala Jushta Svadvi Krama Svadvi Svadvi Karma Bhavad Mulahanti. Sat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapta Vidya Pitopitapta Rasanasra Nirojikanu Kintu, what's that, the next word? What's that? Kinvadarara Nudinam Savadushta Svadvikramad Bhavati Tatkalamulahantri. That the holy name, form, and qualities of Krishna are transcendently sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot relish anything sweet, it is wonderful how by simply chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within the tongue and his disease is destroyed at the root. So we can see what our relation with Krishna is. We just have to chant Hare Krishna. Of course, it's good to chant a few rounds and you can see what your relationship with Krishna is at that moment. If you're absorbed in loving ecstasy every time you say the word Hare Krishna, then you're beginning of a very good relationship with Krishna. And if our minds are wandering all over the world, the universe, and we're wandering with it, our minds all over the universe, we have a little bit of improvement to make. In other words, we're more attracted to everything else except for Krishna. Imagine if a materialist was singing some karmic song and his mind kept on wandering over to Krishna. He'd become very disturbed. Well, what's going on? I can't. So we should also get disturbed. Not that, oh my God, my rounds are getting done, my life is getting better. As the beads fall, my heart rises. As the counterbeats fall, my heart rises. So we have to understand that Namas Chintami Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purno Shudo Niti Mukto Vinat Vat Namino Tvam Namino. That the holy name of Krishna is transcendental, is Namas Chintamani Krishna. So Krishna's name is just like Chintamani. Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. It's a form of all rasa, all mellows, all tastes. It's even sweeter than the gulab jamun, if you can imagine that. If you want to compare it to something, imagine if you had an unlimited appetite and all day long you can just eat samosas, gulab jamuns, pizza, ice cream, and it was all before you. And everything you looked at, you could taste, just like you can taste the gulab jamun. So Krishna's name is like that. It's transcendental sweet. Unfortunately, like Bakasura swallowed Krishna, but he tasted Asura as being, Krishna, Bakasura tasted Krishna as being very bitter. And there he spit Krishna out. Imagine if you were eating prasadam and it all was bitter. You had to spit it out. How unfortunate you'd be. So Bakasura actually had Krishna within himself. But he was so unfortunate he had no taste for Krishna consciousness. And therefore he had to spit Krishna out. On the other hand, Aga means sin. So he's a sinful demon. Imagine. Imagine how sinful he was. I mean, most demons are sinful, but this was especially a sinful demon. But he actually ate Krishna. I mean, that's Mahaprasad. Not only that, but he ate the coward boys too, and the calves. I mean, that's, he really had a, he had some kind of taste for Krishna consciousness. And therefore Krishna gave him a special benediction. He suffocated him from within and he merged into Krishna. So we can also have a taste of Krishna when we're chanting Hare Krishna. So the question is, why do some people have more of a taste or less of a taste? So that depends upon a number of factors. One of them is, it says here, Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't just happen to become Prahlad Maharaj. Even though we can go through the story of how he was He had a girlfriend. Previously in the Vedic culture, if you had a girlfriend, they call her a prostitute. Because ladies, they only associated with men when they were married. And therefore, if a lady associated with a man outside of marriage, she was called a prostitute. Of course, you could also say the man was a prostitute hunter. It's not that only the lady was considered to be fallen, but the man also. So Prahlad Maharaj was a son of a great Brahmin, but somehow or another he became deviated from his brahminical activities, and he befriended a girlfriend. But on the Shringa Chaturdasi, he fought with her, and they quarreled, and he was in a Nishinga temple. I guess it was an abandoned Nishinga temple. And because of the quarrel, he lost his appetite, and he fasted the whole day and night, and he observed perfectly Nishinga Chaturdasi. And therefore, in his next lifetime, he was born in the womb of Hiranyakashipu's wife, and heard the instructions from Narada Muni. And obviously had a great opportunity to take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev. So we can also do this, well, do something similar. It's not necessary to follow his footsteps completely. But we can also hear from an exalted personalities. Matter of fact, in the first canto, in the original Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's translation, the Prabhupada says that we're very fortunate that we've heard from Narada Muni. In these pages, we've heard from Narada Muni. So actually, we can hear from Narada Muni also. We don't have to take birth in the womb of a lady and have Narada Muni come and preach to us directly. We can also hear from him directly in the pages of the Bhagavatam. And what is the point? The point is, ultimately, to either, like Narada Muni, he renounced everything, because he had nothing anyhow to renounce. His mother was bitten by a serpent, and therefore she died. And he was left by himself, because he was the son of a maidservant, and therefore he didn't even know who his father was. So immediately he took off and wandered, because he was fortunate enough to hear from the Bhaktivedantas, and he wanted to get some opportunity to see the world and get some experience, at the same time find a suitable place for meditation. So somehow or another, he found the place, and he sat down in meditation on the Super Soul, and Krishna appeared in the core of his heart, and every part of his body became transcendently enlivened with ecstasy. And then he heard the voice, Krishna's voice, that says, sorry, you know, because Krishna disappeared from his heart. It's not that when you have Krishna appear in your heart, it's a mechanical process, and you won't let him go. Krishna's trying to get out. No. I practice remembrance. I know the technique. You can't go. I've overpowered you with this memory technique. No, you can remember something that appears to be Krishna. Like Kamsa was always remembering Krishna, but it wasn't Krishna, actually. It was Krishna covered by his illusory energy. Just like everything is Krishna's energy. But when it's covered by illusion, we can't actually understand it properly or relish it. So Kamsa was seeing Krishna everywhere. But because he was covered by the illusory energy, he couldn't appreciate Krishna at all. And therefore there is no bhakti. There is no spiritual advancement. An atheist can walk in and see the deity, which is exactly Krishna, and he won't see Krishna at all. He'll see a statue. And as a matter of fact, Hiranyakashipu, when he was killed by Lord Nrisimhadev, he didn't really understand it was Lord Nrisimhadev was Krishna. And therefore he didn't get the benefit of being killed by Krishna. And he had to take birth again as Ravana. And even Ravana, when he got killed, didn't understand with Krishna. And therefore he had to take birth as Shishupal. And even Shishupal, when he was killed, didn't understand it was Krishna. But he was only supposed to be here for three births, So he took birth as Jagai Marai, Kumbhakarna, Ravana, Shishupal and Dantavakra. They took birth as Jagai Marai. And then they, by offending Lord Nityananda and getting Lord Nityananda's mercy, getting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then they understood Krishna, and then they could go back to the spiritual world. So they were only supposed to take birth, three births as a demon, and indeed they took birth again as non-devotees, but not exactly the same level of demons, because they never offended Vaishnavas. And therefore they received the mercy and became devotees in that lifetime. So we also have to follow Prahlad Maharaj's footsteps in here. And when Prahlad Maharaj, he heard with rapt attention, and therefore we took birth, he was prepared to do something. It's not that we, as I said many times, we're just hearing and hearing and hearing, and we don't know what to do. So many things in our mind, out of our mind, we can't remember anything. We have we're Bhaktivedantas, we're Bhakti Somarabhamas, we're Bhakti Avatars, we're everything. But we can't remember what was anything. And therefore we don't, you know, we're doing the same thing we did when we were Bhaktas. Now I have my Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhaktivedanta, I'm a Bhakta Avatar, and I'm doing the same thing, I have the same mentality I had when I was a Bhakta. No, I have to change my consciousness, and that's why we're learning things, to change our consciousness so that we can actually develop devotion. Not only to Krishna as the deity in the temple, which would be nice to do also, but to everything in relationship to Krishna. And therefore, a Sankirtan movement without Sankirtan, it doesn't move. Matter of fact, a lot of times it moves, but it goes the wrong way, or it goes in many different directions. So the Sankirtan movement is not just an option that this movement we might preach, we might not preach. We may save people, we may not. If we want to save ourselves, if we want to become Krishna conscious, after reading the Bhagavatam, if we're not convinced we should chant the holy name and give it to others, then we've missed the whole point of reading the Bhagavatam. If we think it's one of the many options, and it's an option that I don't like, I can just go to Vrindavan, to Radhakund, and like the devotee I mentioned the other day, find out I'm a peacock, and start my sadhana. Coo, coo. Everyone else can go to hell, and I'm going to become a peacock in the spiritual world. That's not the way things work. Nor that's how it worked with Prahlad Maharaj. Every opportunity he got, he began to preach to his schoolmates. In spite of all the difficulties and dangers that entailed, it's not that he got a reward in the school for being the best preacher. Sunda and Amarka were not very enthusiastic about Prahlad Maharaj's telling the other children. In fact, he thought he was contaminating them. He was giving something worse to them than the coronavirus. If you give someone the coronavirus, they isolate you. But here he was giving them people Krishna consciousness. He was infecting them with Krishna. And therefore he was practically trying to be beaten to death for doing such a horrendous thing according to the demons. He was anti-demonia. He was flaying it. He was a virus which was more deadly, which was deadly for the demoniac consciousness. He's infecting all the children. The whole demoniac civilization was endangered. So, we should also infect the demoniac civilization with the virus of Krishna consciousness and let it spread wildly without any possibility of any inoculation. And we have to become, to do so effectively, we have to become like Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj simply was utilizing everything in Krishna's service, his time, his energies, his determination, was all meant to please Krishna, and therefore he was always remembering Krishna. When we're determined to please Krishna, then Krishna will easily appear before us. And when we have some other motivation, some other idea, then Krishna goes far away. because we're not interested in Krishna. Everything depends upon our desire to obtain Krishna. Maiva mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya ivashi shashi mam eva aturvam nasamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your activities in me. Thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. Just fix your intelligence on me and engage all your activities. I guess there must be something about mind in there. Because it says, Mayeva mana adatsva. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. As Prabhupada writes in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, we work not with our bodies, but with our mind and intelligence. So where our intelligence goes, that's where our mind's going to go. Or where our mind goes, that's where our intelligence is going to go. If our mind is wandering, then our intelligence will be lost. And if we're gaining intelligence, then our mind will be fixed on Krishna. Without fixing the mind on Krishna, then we can't sustain our intelligence, because it'll wander according to the laws of nature, and we'll start contemplating the objects of the senses. There'll be attachment, lust, greed, anger, delusion. Our memories will be lost, and our intelligence will be lost. So we learn how to fix the mind upon Krishna. That's why we're again trying to get intelligence. That Krishna says, adyeshite chaya imam dharmam sampadam avyam jnana jagnena tenaham ishtak swam iti meimiti. That one who studies the sacred conversation of mine worships me by his intelligence. So we're worshiping by hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. We're worshiping Krishna by our intelligence, and the result should be that we think about Krishna. And the result should be that we become convinced that Krishna is God, and we find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energies under the direction of his representatives, and we do it to please him, and then Krishna will appear before us. He'll appear within our remembrance. And if we have some other idea that something doesn't belong to Krishna, and therefore the things that we don't belong to Krishna, then when we see them, when we deal with them, then they'll take our minds away from Krishna. And if we think everything belongs to Krishna, but I'm going to utilize it as I'd like, without referring to Krishna, that everything I do is pleasing to Krishna, then Krishna will also go far away from us. Like Indra, when he offended Brihaspati, then Brihaspati went far away. Indra didn't want to accept, he became familiar with Brihaspati. He didn't want to accept him as a representative of Krishna. So Brihaspati disappeared and Indra got into difficulty. So if we don't confirm, if we're not convinced that what I'm doing is what Krishna wants me to do, and I'm convinced because of Guru Sadhana Shastra, confirmed by the Super Soul within my heart, then Krishna goes far away. And even if we know what Krishna wants us to do, even if we're utilizing our energies in Krishna's service, still, if we're not doing it to please Krishna, then Krishna won't appear before us, because there's some other motivation. So everything depends on our knowledge, everything depends upon our activities, and everything depends upon our motivation. If our motivation is not pure to please Krishna, we're not working according to authority, if we're not recognizing we're living in Krishna's energy, meant for Krishna's service, then our Krishna consciousness will not become full. But as we develop that understanding, as we apply it within our lives, as we become more skillful, then gradually Krishna will actually appear in our memories and will become Krishna conscious, just like Prahlad Maharaj. It's not that there are many different processes, and it's very, very complicated. As Prabhupada said, one can become Krishna conscious in a moment, or not after millions of years. It's only a question of understanding and accepting the fact.
Or facts.
So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. I provided you your own microphone.
Hare Krishna. In these verses and purports, it seems indicated that Prahlad Maharaj worshipped or meditated upon Krishna. But then he's famous as Narasimha Bhakta. So which Bhakta is he? Is he Krishna Bhakta or is he Narasimha Bhakta?
Well, he's Narasimha Bhakta. Between Narasimha Dev and Krishna, they're the same person. So Krishna, even Narasimha Dev, whatever our desire is, whatever our mentality, it doesn't matter. Any the incarnations appear before their devotees in that particular form, and they're worshipable by them. So it wasn't by accident Prahlad Maharaj got his fasted, he got his pious activities and ability to hear from Narada Muni by fasting following Narasimha Chaturdasi. So there must have been some connection between Narasimha Dev and Prahlad Maharaj. Yes.
Prahlad is such a great devotee. And we see that great devotees always seek out opportunities to hear and speak about Krishna, like the six Goswamis who were at the topmost stage, but still they would meet regularly to discuss, to speak about Krishna. So, do we hear something about Prahlad Maharaj making friends with devotees to hear and speak about Krishna?
Yeah, of course. There's a whole chapter in the seventh canto about that. That's why he went and preached amongst his schoolmates, and they were all chanting Hare Krishna together, hearing about Krishna. He made all the sons of the demons devotees. That's a pretty big association.
Okay, so then afterwards he had his former classmates to talk
about
Krishna.
Yeah, they got on Skype regularly. Now they're probably on Zoom. They're all classmates, come on. They had reunions and everything. They were guru coolies. They stick together, the guru coolies. Anything else? Yes.
I'm wondering when Prahlad was in this Narasimhadev temple, so obviously this whole Narasimhadev Lila that we know, Narasimhadev 4, didn't happen yet.
So, it didn't?
I mean,
it that you know.
Like in previous yuga, so was there like some...
Some of these incarnations appear regularly, actually. Like there's so many different incarnations of Buddha, there's so many incarnations of Matsya. I believe there's incarnations of Narasimha Dev also.
So yeah, my question is, was in that previous Lila, Prahlad Maharaj, was he aware that he was already performing with Narasimha Dev, or?
It didn't say he was conscious. It just so happened he observed. I mean, there's probably other people who are also fasted the whole day of Narasimha Dev's appearance day in Narasimha Dev's temple and didn't become Prahlad Maharaj. So this is only one part of the history. The Bhagavatam could be filled up with his previous lifetimes and how he became qualified. But the idea is the general idea is you just don't become qualified by some one act or one lifetime. It takes many, many lifetimes. But the reason for telling the story in one of the Puranas is to give us an indication that how Prahlad Maharaj didn't happen, what was the anomaly of his being born in the family of a demon and at the same time becoming a great devotee. So there's something unique about it, so the story is told. But you could have told the story of his previous lifetime to that, and then we may have found out other things. For instance, Bali Maharaj's sister, or it says also his daughter, when she saw Vamanadeva, she fell in love with him. But when Vamanadeva took away Bali Maharaj's possessions, she wanted to kill him. She wanted to poison him. So she came back as Putana and got the opportunity to try to kill Krishna and then become his mother. So it gives us some idea that devotional service is a continuum over many lifetimes, and sometimes the combinations of mentality are mixed, and therefore Krishna has to purify us. So we're also, we've taken birth in families of demons, and our mentality is not necessarily full of pure prema, and therefore Krishna is using this opportunity to purify us in this lifetime. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.